Şudan sorgi çanamla çancı vardı danı kemsuşu dagi çinyen gibi sana dula pence sanki duvarşu sorgi çanamla çancı vardı danı kemsuşu dagi çinyen gibi sana dula pence sanki duvarşu Çudan sorge çanamla, çançı pardo dani kepsuç. Dagi çinyen gibi sunam, dolo pençe sanye dubeş.
Onurdu majur namgüyünde donyan bir Azımcı damın cici dondur Tıpça dördüklerine majı bayan dobra dobra zonci çoğun zir Yönde gündenci komorun buci dinya uda cani can dobra jar Ode dobra javi jarda dobra cimbo dambı cüzamur Senyambe kanal kanju jirambe damji Jine nama dambe chauji jan zaradavdi zambara zar
Please listen to the teachings by generating the proper motivation in accordance with the tradition of the Lainish Lamas by thinking that for the benefit of all mother sentient beings pervading the infinitude of space, I must attain the unsurpassable, pure, completed state of enlightenment which is completely free of all mistakes and perfected in all the qualities and knowledge. And in order to attain the state that I'm going to listen to the most profound, pure Mahayana teachings.
Onda dinida dambri javada dambu chuna jiga jiga dambu chuse jiga di dhamara jiga tusam kumsum jiga ni mara tena phabguwa yandu ojiga dhijava sangkava chenbu sona yon dambu jachin tuwa mandu sar ardu janglu dhamchi dambri cha tamari nyansan ganda nyamso na kanyang tenpa jiga cheta ngu senida tsukan jiga ni jiga tsukan dambu di tuwa jiga
So whatever dharma we establish in our life, then it has to be established on the basis of listening, understanding, and meditation, as Lama Tsongkhapa himself stated, saying that at first to engage in the activities of extensive listening, extensive exposure to listening to dharma talks, and then following that to clarify all the doubts whereby which one has the correct understanding, and then following that, then one should engage in the practices of whatever understanding that one has generated, to engage in those practices day and night unceasingly, and all of these activities then should be dedicated for the spread and increase of the teachings. So all the activities, in this way, all our engagements of the activities of our body, speech, and mind, then becomes an activity benefiting sentient beings and a direct cause for enlightenment.
You are the Sambi Rondo Chiba Cup, or you Sambadi Sambi Rondo Chiba Tondi on the Gum Javago, Kurti Sangunawa, or you the Jizan Sangava Rongo Jiga, Karasago Tongu Senanda, or that the Marjusong Yuayan do, or you the Tuazi Yedi, Yonajumata Mashiba Yena, Tito Samu Tanga de Yonajumata Meding. That's
So in Lama Tsongkhapa's writing of what is known as a clarifying of the doubts, clarification of the doubts, which is known as the root of every excellence, clarification of all doubts, the root of every excellence. Within that, Lama Tsongkhapa places this emphasis, saying that, you know, first and foremost, one should engage in the extensive hearing of the teachings, and then following that, then whatever one has heard, then with regards to what one has understood, then to clear all the doubts with all of the understanding that one has generated through the extensive listening, and then whatever has been understood clear of all questions or doubts, then that should be meditated upon again and again. So if one hasn't heard the teachings extensively, if one is limited to what one has heard, then one's understanding also becomes very, very limited, and one's meditation is also very, very limited. So how extensively we are able to meditate, how deep or extensive our understanding is, all of this is dependent, just as our meditation is dependent upon the depth and extensiveness of our understanding of the teachings, that creating that kind of depth and extensiveness of the understanding of the teachings is completely dependent upon generating extensive hearing or extensive listening to the teachings. So in listening to the teachings, you have the sutra collection of teachings, the three vast collections of teachings, or the three baskets of teachings. And in listening to the tantras, then listening to the tantras at all of these four different levels. So in this way, one develops a very vast hearing, a vast understanding, and a vast basis to meditate upon. Of course, to engage in this kind of extensive listening, understanding, meditation, it feels like a difficulty for the mind, or difficult to take on, but if you think about the benefits that one can receive in the way of one's understanding, in the ways in which one can engage in the meditational practice, then by thinking about the benefits of it, then one should not feel any kind of resistance to engaging in it.
ཁྱི་དེ་དེ་ན་ཡིན་པ་ཡིན་དུ་གི་ཁྱི་དེ་གི་ཡང་གི་མང་པོ་གི་ཐུག་གི་ཐུག་དང་ན་གི་ཁྱི་དེ་ཏོ་ཏོ་ཞུ་ཞིམ་གི་ཞིམ་མོ་གི་གི་གི་དེ་ཡང་གི་ཡ་བ་སང་གི་བ་ཅན་བུ་ཐང་དམ་མི་མོ་ལམ་ན་ན་ཡ་དེ་ཐུག་དང་ན་རུ་པ་ཡི་ཡ་དང་ཚན་དེ་སར་ཡ་རབ་ཏོ་ན་སམ་ཞི་ནི་ལ་སམ་ལི་ཞོང་མ་ཡི་ནམ་ཞོ་ལུ་ཡི་ཐེ་སམ་ཆོ་བར་ཤ་ཨོ
So even in the prayers of dedication that Lama Tsongkhapa composed, prayer of dedication of the beginning and the end, in those prayers too, there are prayers of dedication made to be to have the opportunity to have a, you know, to have the opportunity to be to be able to listen very extensively to the teachings, and whatever teachings that one is exposed to be able to analyze all of those teachings and clarify whatever questions or doubts that one may have over it. So when one listens to the teachings, then one should analyze every word, every subject, and analyze it through applying the four types of logic, and also establishing those points or subjects through scriptural quotations, establishing the authority of the scriptural quotations to validate those subjects or those points. And when applying the four types of logic, then you have the logic of dependent arising, the logic of ultimate reality, the logic of what is known as accomplishing the logic whereby which you established on the basis of accomplishing the function, and and the fourth one is the logic of being on the logic established on the basis of being applicable. The first logic of dependence is like the dependence of cause and effect. In order to have a good result, you have to have good causes. In order to have a complete result, you need to have complete causes. So, the results depending on causes is the first logic. The second logic, logic established on the basis of a function, accomplishment of a function. Here, this refers to the doer, the relationship of the action agent and the object, how the one performing the action is dependent on the the doer is dependent upon the action and the agent, like that action, the relationship of the action agent object, like that. And the third logic, the logic of what is known as the Dharma Dhatu, or the reality of that phenomenon, the ultimate the reality of that phenomenon. So, like for example, it is in the nature of the fire to blaze upwards, you know, it is in the nature of the water to flow downwards. Like this, it's the intrinsic nature or the defining characteristics of that entity, in the logic which is based on that.
The
fourth reasoning, you know, you know, this fourth one, the word, the basis of being applicable. The Rumchi's the explanation with that is, for example, you take impermanence. The defining in definition for something that which is impermanent is that which changes from moment to moment. And so, so when you take any phenomenon, because it is impermanent, so it has these. The reasoning that is applied here is that that it changes from moment to moment, and because it changes from moment to moment, it is impermanent like that. So do you have a better word for this? With regards to in the fourth reasoning, on the, which is applied on the basis of that which is applicable, then those in that category, then here what we just utilized was the example of impermanent phenomena and the defining characteristics of phenomena which is impermanent, being changing. So this kind of logic then cannot be faulted by a direct valid cognizer. So this kind of logic is very much accords with science, except having a proof, having a, you know, being a proven case like that. So, of course, in science, then there is a requirement that whatever is proven must be visually seen, or, you know, with our, you know, valid cognitive states of hearing or seeing, you know, must be proven on those bases. And so, therefore, with the obscured phenomena that you cannot see with our bare eyes, or, you know, or with the help of you know, machinery which we cannot see, then when we hit that kind of realm, then we cannot definitely say that they exist, or we cannot definitely for sure say it does not exist. So, you know, with those types of obscure phenomena, then it kind of gets cast in the realm of the doubt. So, with phenomena, you have obvious phenomena, and then you have, you know, hidden phenomena, an extremely hidden phenomena. With the cases of hidden phenomena, then you have to rely on, you know, valid scriptural authority, or that which has been validated by a clairvoyant mind, like that. And then in the case of extremely obscured or extremely hidden phenomena, then for those phenomena, then much of that has to be relied upon on the scriptural authority of the Buddhist teachings, you know, and this scriptural authority also must be cannot be faulted by the three kinds of analysis that, you know, substantiate, you know, a valid quote from the Buddha. So, like that. So, in this category of the extremely obscured phenomena, you know, then to say that it is not so, then you know, one cannot come up with the you know, the reasonings to establish that it isn't, or, you know, and to say that it is so, also not being able to come up with the reasons to establish that it is existence. So in this category of these extremely obscure phenomena, then much of that we have to rely on the scriptural authority of a Buddha's words, you know, not faulted by the three kinds of analysis. So, when we talk about, you know, extreme hidden phenomena, then it usually refers to, or hidden phenomena, it refers to, you know, reincarnation, the existence of past and future life, and you know, the cause and effect of our karmic actions. For these, for these types of teachings, then to establish this, to have faith or belief in that, then one has to rely a lot on the scriptural authority of the Buddhist teachings, such as when we read through certain sutras, like the Sutra of the Wise and the Foolish. Within those sutras, they talk about certain things, certain karmas, karmic actions that were done, and as a consequence of that, then you have particular kinds of karmic results, or the story within those sutras, there's mentioning of of individuals going through certain experiences, and then being presented as a question to the Buddha, and the Buddha explaining how in the past certain karmic actions were done that attributed to this particular result. So Rinpoche is saying, if it's more comfortable, you can sit on a chair. You have certain categories of these hidden phenomena where you have to rely on the scriptural authority to establish. And then with regards to the existence of past and future lifetimes, as some accept a future life but do not accept a past life. But as long as you accept a future life, then in relation to the future life, then you would have, your previous life would have to be a past life. So even though you do not directly accept a past life, by accepting there is a future life, you sort of, indirectly accept there being, a past life like that. And in the same way, then you have, she said, you can use one of the seats over there. And again, with regards to the idea of the creator, in Hinduism or in Christianity, where the world and the beings within the world are all created by a creator. So you have certain beliefs like that. So, but when we think of it in the context of the Buddhism, then you can say certain results of existence come as a blessing of the Buddha, but half of our existence also comes due to the power of our of sentient beings, karma, as a result of sentient, due to the karmic causes accumulated by the sentient beings, then you have the result of the certain type of the world, environmental world and the beings within it. So, in the Buddhist context, then you would say it's the combination of both the Buddha, the objects of refuge, the Buddhas, and sentient beings, karma, that have the combined force of both that has brought forth this types of established this type of existence.
And then in
nowadays, both in East and West, you know, when people outside of you know, spiritual, like Buddhist faith or faith that you know, establish, you know, set forth the existence of a reincarnation, outside of those faith, you know, people, independent people, have done you know, many research with regards to children who, on their own, are able to remember their past lives. You know, are able to describe places, people, identify, and then when these independent people have examined, you know, their memories of these children, then are able to completely verify places and people from their memories. So in that way, then you can say, you know, that is an obvious way of establishing the existence of past and future lifetimes. And then, of course, in Buddhism, like, you know, exceptional individuals like His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the Karmapa, you know, then who from the time of the birth, you know, speak out very clearly about their identity as to who they are, and confirming their identity, as those as the reincarnation of those individuals in many different ways. So, you know, completely validating on their own, you know, their you know, their claim to whatever reincarnation they are, you know, whatever reincarnation they happen to be of. So in this way, then you can see, you know, both from a Buddhist context and even from the independent studies of individuals who have taken an interest to examine these you know, claims to you know, remembering past lives, then many of these things are you know, have been validated through where you can see it and verify it completely for yourself. So that was just an introductory talk about the importance of, you know, generating extensive exposure to listening to the teachings, particularly in the context of Buddhist teachings, to listen very extensively to the collection of teachings that are available, to develop the proper, you know, the correct understanding through, you know, through clarifying all of one's questions or doubts, and then, you know, and then to engage in the meditational practices of it, and how these activities then should be founded on the basis of using logic and logic and reasoning and scriptural authority and so forth. So then, going back to the lesson on the sublime continuum, then we were talking about the eight, you know, qualities of a Buddha. So, with all of these three objects of refuge, the rare and sublime Buddha refuge, the rare and sublime Dharma refuge, the rare and sublime Sangha refuge, then all of them are categorized into the ultimate and the conventional Buddha refuge, the ultimate and the conventional Dharma refuge, and the ultimate and conventional Sangha object of refuge.
Ojida dinda yemba yendu Yondé, Jigunani, or you, Tambola, Yondé, some, Yondé, some, Ninja, Yondé, some, Tama, Yondé, some, Sumbo, Rini, Duna, Yondé, Tambo, Sambo, Randonji, Yondé, Yondé, Shama, Sambo, Yendonji, Yondé, Yondé, Nama, the Gogundu, the Gogundu, Yendu, or you, that, Tipo, the Tana, Chichabuko, Randonji,
So when we talked about those eight qualities, the first three qualities are for the the benefit of the self or the individual, and then the second set of the three is for the benefit of others, and then the last two are regarded as the general qualities in the sense of the randunguku da shendunku
or
tamaniti
re tamaju da yonden tambo sam yonden tamasam tuchi tuchi ne da tambo sam bodhi randunji yonden ge kino adya chama sam bodhi yondunji ge yonden ge no adya te yendu desha sam Somebody, somebody, you're bad, you're too cheap. Or that the year wrong, the Chichavan by and do Chichavan, you got seen on the Jitian, you did.
Rumchi, Tanda, Tamani, Buti
Rondonji, Yonden, Rondonji, Yonden, Rondonji, Cousin, Rondonji, Cousin, and Rondonji, on the Nagendonji, on the Nidi, to put it and I seen her, or that the she need. Did they are the Tambo, somebody, Rondonji, Kino, I said. The Jadi Tambo Sundi ending, the Jidi Randonji Quindin, Shama Sambodi Yan, the Jadi Yandonji on the ending, the Jidi Yandonji on the Ranjin, the Randonji on the Najandonji on the Nidi on the Chichaba ending. Something Tambo on Yadi Shitawa ending.
So, and then the last two are regarded as the body for the self and the body for the others. This is like in general within the body for this, randunguku, the body for the benefit of the self. Within that, then you have the first three qualities incorporated in it: the uncompounded, spontaneous, not realized through the cause of others. And then within the body for the benefit of others, then you have the latter three qualities. Or for the benefit of others incorporated within it. So the last two are the general qualities, and the first two sets of two are the particular qualities.
Oji, that in the Yambayandu, that Dimajiwa Ranjanji on the Nanji Dabalo Nandaki on the Yenji Chenji Tangma member, Tapa member, the Dachet Chetavan Chamber on the someday, Oji Darondonji on the Nati.
So
So the
quality of being uncompounded is the naturally pure quality of the Buddha, and the spontaneous is the adventitiously pure, temporarily pure quality of the Buddha, and not realized through the cause of others is the quality of knowing all the varieties of existence. And those three qualities are the qualities for the benefit of the self. And then Jitawa no Jiniva Jiniva, the knowledge is the Jiniva. Okay. The varieties are Jitawa or negative. Okay. Not being realized through the cause of others is a knowing of knowing the final mode of phenomena, knowing phenomena just as they are, like that. And those are the qualities. Those are the qualities for the benefit of the self. And the latter three, knowledge here refers to knowing all existence, knowing all the varieties of existence, and then mercy as in loving compassion, power or potential or capacity, and those three latter qualities are for the benefit of others. Where it says, as well as being the fulfillment of the two aims are the last two qualities, the body which is for the benefit of the self and the body which is for the benefit of others. And then the verses 6, 7, 8 slightly details on those eight qualities. Because of having a nature without beginning, i.e. without production, middle, abiding, or end, cessation, it is uncompounded. And because of possessing the peaceful truth body, it is said to be spontaneous. So the naturally pure and the temporarily pure aspects of the holy body. And then because of being realized by oneself individually, it is not realized through the cause of others. So this refers to the transcendental wisdom knowledge, the transcendental wisdom knowledge which is able to see the ultimate mode of existence of all phenomena, the final nature of all phenomena. Because of so these three qualities are the qualities for the benefit of the self, and then the latter three, because of realizing those aspects in that way, it is knowledge. Knowledge as in knowing all existence, knowing all the varieties of phenomena. And because of teaching the path merciful or loving, compassionate, it is power or potential or capacity, because of removing suffering and afflictive emotions through exalted wisdom and compassion. So these latter three qualities are the qualities for the benefit of others. Through the first three, one's own welfare is accomplished. Through the latter three, others' aims. So when you look at these verses, it first begins with a brief praise to the Buddha, and then enlisting each one of the eight qualities, and then elaborating on those qualities a little bit, you know, saying a little bit on each one of these qualities. And then the last two lines kind of, again, comprehensively sort of concludes what those qualities are about, saying through the first three, one's own welfare is accomplished, through the latter three, one, others' aims are accomplished.
ဟောဒီတဲ့ဒီနေ့ရင်ပဲရင်သူကြီးတဲ့ရောင်းသွင်းကြီးကတ်တော်ရင်သွင်းကြီးကိချေပရတန်ဒီစဝရောင်းနဲ့ဒီနေ့မှာတော့မြားရင်နေအောင်ဟောဒီတဲ့ကျေသဝရမှုကြီးမှာအကြီးတကန်ဒီဝရောင်းနဲ့တန်တနာချောင်းချောင်းဒီချောင်းချောင်းရုပ်ကြီးရှိတဲ့ကိုဟောဒါငိုဒနာဟောဒီတဲ့ဤကနေ့တောင်းနေစီဝသူတွေတောင်းဖို့ညီပါစံပါကြီးပါငါတို့ပါတံပါကြီးပါကွာဟောဒါကျွားရမှာကျူနာ ဒါန်ဒနိဒသောင်းရောက်ရပါတယ်အတွင်းကြီးဆောဆောရှင်းနေရေးဒရဇာလာငုစမနောဝဆောင်ကြီးကြီးရှင်းနာမနရံကတန်တော့ဒရဇာလာငုစနောဝဇကနံပန်းကြီးရန်တော့တေချပါနော်ဒါရံတော့ရန်တော့တေချစရတီတီချန်နီဆောင်ရီမာတော့ကျေရနာရံတော့ကြီးကိုရနာရန်တော့ကြီးကိုမအင်းပြီချပါတော့ရန်တော့ကြီးကိုရနာရံတော့ကြီးကိုမအင်းပြီချပါအောင်ယောမာရီတီချန်နီဆောင်ရီဒီအကြီးချစ်တေချပါဒရဇာ
Here, although you know the body for the benefit of the self and the body for the benefit of others is very briefly presented, but in the commentary by Gyaltsa Rinpoche, then on page 47, if people are following the Tibetan text, then has 10 lines describing these two the qualities of these two holy bodies. So the thing is that it doesn't mean that. If it's a holy body for the benefit of self, so you know, if it's a holy body for the benefit of the self, it pervades being a body for the benefit of others. If it is a holy body for the benefit of others, it pervades being a body for the benefit of self. The reason why this distinguishment of the body for the self or the body for the benefit of others is distinguished in this way is from basically from the point of the view of the, you know, the sentient beings to be subdued. You know, what is usually categorized as the holy body, which is for the benefit of the self, is those characteristics of the holy body of the Buddha, which does not appear, directly appear, is not a direct perception of the sentient beings. And then those qualities of the, you know, like the form body of the Buddha, so forth, those characteristics of the holy body of the Buddha, which directly appears to the, you know, to the sentient beings, is directly perceived by sentient beings, then those are categorized as the, you know, the holy body, which is for the benefit, you know, for the benefit of others. Like, you know, for example, if you talk about, you know, the Buddha's enlightened mind, you know, that cannot be directly accessed by a sentient being's mind. So such as these characteristics then are those types of qualities then are regarded as the in the body for the benefit of the self. And then, you know, what those aspects of the Buddha's you know, holy body, which appears to sentient beings' mind, which directly perceived by sentient beings' mind, then is a categorized as a, you know, body for the benefit of others.
ဝိဒသမြေကိုနိဇောအတိနောယံတတိယုဂေနိယံဂျေအချုကွန်ဇောတေယံဂျေတတိနဝေကိုနိဇောအယံသူဝိဒန္ဒနာဂျေသဝရံကနောနာတံဘုချုကွန်ဇောလာဂျေတေသံသရဝမတုသောချိဝတိကောရှုမေမယောမေမာယေယောမေလီယံတောအောသ
When you take the Buddha, the rare and sublime Buddha, then it begins with a brief praise and prostration, then an abbreviated presentation of what the Buddha is, then the meaning, and then the conclusion. In the same way, when you look at the verses that explain the Dharma, also begins with a praise and prostration, then an abbreviated point of view of explaining what the Dharma is, and then explaining the meaning, and then concluding, doing a conclusion of it, summary of it, like that. That is how each of the verses goes. So the verse here is obeisance to the Son of excellent doctrine, not existent and not analyzable as other than existent and non-existent, devoid of description, known by oneself individually, peaceful, undefiled, illumined with the light rays of exalted wisdom, and thoroughly destroying desire, hatred, and obscuration with respect to all objects of observation. So, like the Dharma object of refuge, the Buddha object of refuge, Dharma too is categorized into conventional Dharma and the ultimate Dharma. The ultimate Dharma here refers to the path and cessation which is embodied in the holy in the holy mind of the Buddha. Cessation and path of cessation. And the conventional Dharma are the scriptures, the scriptural words. Scriptures and the words that explain the Dharma are the conventional Dharma. So again, when you kind of detail it, then in detailing the qualities of the Dharma, then cessation is attributed with three qualities. Path to cessation is also attributed with three qualities.
So
where it says, known by oneself individually, peaceful, undefiled, illumined with the light rays of exalted wisdom, I regard it as the qualities of the path of cessation. The three, qualities of the true path, qualities of truth. The three qualities are, the true path are, the quality which is part of the, the naturally pure quality, the temporarily pure quality, which is free of the obscurations. Free of the obscurations, right? The second quality of advantageously pure, and then the third quality is where duality is completely pacified, where duality is kind of subsided. You have a better word?
Oji da di lamden ji yonden sim, goden ji yonden sim di oji da tabi tu rona ji ri tanda ten ma di nwa. Goden ji yonden sim di tanda go ri lamden ji yonden sim di ri da goden ji yonden sim di chima sim ji. Ta lamden go yonden sim di kwanshi ki meme yome ma yome li jen da onse di na oji da tindra la jar na
I made a mistake. Rumchi tashi di lamdengi yonde. What I said previously were the qualities of the, where known by oneself individually, peaceful, undefiled, illumined with the light rays of exalted wisdom. That is the qualities of the true path. Okay, true path. Tande di rumchi golden yonder wa tande tenchi di suna ya golden yonder
ori golden yonder di ta tama shin di ta ba tsu de jer na ta bra ma ni ni tsu ta ndar tsu zo rang ge ru shi ba ti ji o da ti tin da sam na jer gu
devoid of description, known by oneself, is are the qualities of cessation, true cessation. The qualities of the true path are the above, which is not non-existent, not existent, not existent and non-existent, and not analyzable as other than existent and non-existent, are the qualities of the true path. Rumchi, the yobaranshig mevranshig di rumchi lamdengi yonder. These are the that there is no existence inherently existence, that there is no inherently existent non-existence, that there is no existence which is not inherently existent, and there is no non-existence which is inherently existent. And then again the negative of those, which is the category of the four, these are the four extremes, that which is not existent, there is no existence which is inherently existent, non-existent. and there is no inherently existent existence which is not existence. I hope you get it. Anyway, it's to do with existence and non-existence, and then non-existence and non-existence, and then the opposite. Do you get it? Anyway, the four. Anyway. So three of these four extremes is what is defined as the qualities of the true path.
Ari da de ji gar de gun ta da ji ta da de ji da ji za ba dong ri bi tu zan la ta dong da ma da ji yang bi wa ri de wa ji da tin da la ji yo ba ma ze du na ji me ba ma ze du ri da tin da la ti ya ji yang gar ze go njere jen chik ju ndrewe njere di njere mandrewa nyo zarewa njere jen chik wanda shina chik ta chik yoma me me se jen di ngoden go yonden la seya chik dang jen ji jen ji tangma ba se jen di namden ji yonden la seya chik ni san yang go yuwa yendu nige nani yang chik njere chama di mara jisan rang ya chik ta san yang yodini te yendu ta chik ngama san ya di njere jen di lefa yinba ngu san ni That the Jigan Godenga Seya. Or Jigda Chama di Chama Sambodi, Lamden Giondena Seya di Danger Ni open on in Jirlafa Tila Tena, Tina Yendini.
With regards to these qualities, there are two translations of the commentary. So in one commentary then these four extremes are regarded as the qualities of the, qualities of the, this true cessation, and devoid of description, known by oneself individually as being the qualities of the true path, and then in another translation, then again it's the other way round. So you have in the two translations of the commentary, there is this kind of difference. Chidan rumchi namju chi kelaya de kadi gyur kadil ten
sa sa venjer don driven jir ni obanani chama jua di driven jir di oji da muvini tu dan tamba di ho yen sa ya da jing ma di tawa rong jir yen ba yen du di jir malawa yen sin ni da di sa ni wa wa
biz rumchi chima de su du gan te ta shi di sun ya di lamden gi yonde
lamden gi yonde di ri dan ta ji dan sa ya di
Gokden
ji oji da di ma yen ba chen sambu se ya di lamden gi yonde na se ya di
di devegul
devegul ta ti ti ta fa yen sa na sa
ya I made a mistake the difference is not the two commentaries, the difference in the translation of the root and the commentary. When we follow the translation of the root text, then the four extremes, the quality of the established on the basis of four extremes, are attributed to the true path. And devoid of description, known by oneself individually, that quality is attributed to cessation, true cessation. But when we rely on the translation of the commentary, then the quality of the four three of the four extremes is attributed to true cessation, and devoid of description, known by oneself individually, is attributed to the true path. So, what is regarded as something that is more true to the source or more applicable to reality is in accordance with the translation, the commentary. translation of the commentary where, you know, the quality of the being free of the four extremes is attributed to true cessation. And, you know, devoid of description and known by oneself of individual, this latter part as qualities of the true path.
So in the Junamba
tradition, you know, according to the Junamba tradition, then where they talk about, you know, the other empty and the self empty, because they talk about the other empty and self empty, so they usually designate that the Uttara Tantra belongs to the third turning of the wheel of Dharma. But in accordance with Lama Tsongkhapa's tradition, then, in other words, it's saying that the Gyu Lama, Uttara Tantra, is a subject which relates to the other empty, subject of the other empty. But according to Lama Tsongkhapa, then the Uttara Tantra teachings are regarded as the teachings categorized within the second turning of the wheel of second turning of the wheel of Dharma, and on the basis of this, they establish that ultimately there is only one way vehicle on the basis of which to attain enlightenment. Tatu tapa chik.
ཁྱི ལ མ དང ཁྱི ལ མ དེ ཁྱི ཤར ཤིང གི འདུན རེ བ ཡན དེ ཡན དུ ཤར ཤིང གི ཁྱི ཤར ཤིང ཐོབ ཆེན པོ ལུགས ལ ཐར་ཏི ཐོབ ཆུ་ཏུ ཡན པེ སམ་ཅེ་ཐམ་ཅེ་སང་ཡང་ཡན་པ་དང་ང་ཅི་ཅུན་ང་སོ་ཅི་དེན་རེ་མ་ཡན་པ་ཨོ་ཅི་དེ་གབ་གི་ཁྱི ལ་མི་གབ་གི་ཏོམ་པ་ཉེ་ཏན་ཡ་དེ་སམ་སམ་པ་ལུགས་ཡན་དེ་ཡན་པ་ཡན་དུ་ཁྱི་གར་ཟེ་གོ་ཁྱི་དོང
So in the tradition of Lama Tsongkhapa and the two sons, then the Uttara Tantra is regarded as part of the Buddha's perfection of wisdom, Prajna Paramita teachings, and within which you have this, you know, that ultimately, you know, that there is one vehicle on the basis of which, you know, the all sentient beings attain enlightenment, you know, have the potential to attain enlightenment. With regards to the Janamba tradition, then much of the you know, emptiness, point of view of emptiness is established on the basis of the Chittamatran school, you know. So if you know, where they do not accept external existence, whereas in the prasangika system, then you know, there is the acceptance of external existence. Thank you, Ved Lula, Chidun Yobache.
Chidun Yobache, Tadu Tabachi Yobache, then you Chutamji Rantan Yon Yendingi, or you
that
in the Yingi
Varwa. That all phenomena. Thank you, Ved Lula. that all phenomena, according to the prasangika system, are all self-empty. So in the Junamba tradition, for example, when you have the Kala Chakra is taught on the basis of the view of the other empty, whereas again in the Lama Tsongkhapa and the Two Heart Sons tradition, then it's not taught on the basis of the other empty, but self-empty, and that in accordance with the Madhyamika's school's viewpoint, and then also accepting external existence. Chidun. So we'll stop here, and if you have questions, you can ask now. Yeah.
Before we started on the Uttara Tantra this evening, Rinpoche mentioned that the type of existence is created sort of half by the qualities of the Buddha and half by the karma of sentient beings. I guess maybe he's referring to the human existence, I don't know. And does that mean that, according to Dhamma Tsongkhapa's tradition, that there's sort of a shared world, or, you know, this world that we live in is created
by some kind of teamwork? Tanganzu nuchugi chitensia di kunjo da da kyapkunjo da semchengle tumondur ves.
Eji tamo de ngi va. Ji li giwa chi va ji na nochi tamchi ji tabo nochi ji tabo nochi ge chadi yong ya di komja ge chanab ge to ge li giwa so ba de ni ge ni ta la de ni ji ji nochi de so ji nochi tamba da ya bo yong ya.
So Rumchi says, you know, the context in which it should be understood, like how our existence of a residential existence and resident beings are the product of the combined blessings of the Buddha's activities and sentient beings' karma, is that how that is to be understood is that all the goodness that exists in this world in the way of every beauty or purity that exists in this world then comes through the power of the positive karma, as a result of the positive karma, and positive karmic activities arise from the blessings of the Buddha. And from that point of view, then in our world, whatever shortcomings exist, whatever impurities or shortcomings exist, they arise from the negative karma of sentient beings, which you would have said is not arisen from blessings of the Buddha, something like that. So in that context. For example, in the context of where you attribute all existence having been being a product of a creator, like, for example, all the suffering that we have, you know, created by God or some, in that kind of context, then, you know, you would have to imagine like the God as being a, like a judge, and then judge of our activities, and then due to that, then having the suffering. So, how one can also relate to that is like, you know, just as every goodness and well-being comes from the in the positive activities, then in transgressing from those positive activities, then as a result of that judgment, then we have suffering. And it's just like in Buddhism, we have like abandoning of the 10 non-virtues of our in the activities of our body, speech, and mind. Then similarly, you know, you have like the, in Christianity, you have the God's 10 commandments, and that, you know, when you break those commandments, then they have the negative karmic consequence. They have negative consequences. So there isn't a direct teaching of cause and effect of our karmic actions, but indirectly, for example, setting forth 10 commandments and there being, shortcomings to transgressing those 10 commandments, indirectly, then you can say also there is, teaching on cause and effect.
But are some of the bumps in my road somebody else's fault?
Kurang metit ol kange yomati kange inde yundu kanle shengi kyun chen yombrves shengi nondru da shengi kyun gi wongi susu metit ol magic wa yomati inde ves
dadi yezna rangu chungji yongwa yimi warwa rangu chungji yongwa na yengu yanti mara kanda wo jerogji ji sunda wo yang yengu ta rangu wari.
Rumchi said, like the bumps in our life, you know, you can say, you know, it's primarily it would have to be because of one's own individual past karmic actions. Then, of course, others are like the cooperative conditions to experiencing that bump. So it's like, primarily, oneself is responsible, then the others are like the outer conditions,
secondary conditions.
It's just like, you have a matchstick which at the tip has this potential to generate a flame, but on its own it won't generate a flame. It would have to be rubbed against a rough surface for that flame to come. So, primarily like that, the primary factor would be one's own karmic propensity, and then the others would be like the secondary factors to bring forth that experience. It's the same for positive activities too. When we make an effort to be very, to be tolerant and patient, undertaking the virtue of tolerance or patience is primarily your decision. Yet the other person giving you the harm or creating the obstacle is a secondary condition. London se de kareres rum che ani golden se kareres
da london se ji de ji pe na ji ne ji da kare se go tam de ma ye na nam ji ngor ji ro o ji da ji tom ba ne ta bo ji nam de ji ga yu ari yon ji ne ba ta bo nam de na yu ari ji tin da ji da mu zon de mi golden se du ji kap to go ji pon sha ye na
Rumshi says, like, true path has to be, like, for example, something that which is in the nature of one's spiritual path, like the wisdom realizing emptiness. When we talk about a true path, it has to be a path at the level of the Arya path. For it to be a true path, then it cannot be a path at the level of an ordinary sentient being, but has to be at the level of an Arya, a superior being, and like their realization of emptiness, realizing in the ultimate nature of phenomena, or their realization of the varieties of existence. So, you know, those would be realizing emptiness, realizing the true truths, which is in the nature of the path, and that path at the level of the Arya path would be true path. And cessation, true cessation is regarded as a state in which one has totally kind of abandoned the obscurations. So, various levels of cessation, whenever one comes to abandon, certain levels of the obscurations, and when one comes to totally abandon, totally exhaust all of one's obscurations, and completely abandon all the obscurations, then that state of total abandonment of one's obscurations is true cessation. So, of course, the true path and true cessation has to be actualized at the level of the Arya being, generated at the level of the Arya being. But to give an example, when as an initial beginner on the path of in one's spiritual path, then when one engages in the six preliminary practice, and you have the first practice of cleaning one's meditational room, meditation place. So for example, you use a broom to clean the room up. So the act of cleaning is the path, and the result of having a completely clean room is like the cessation.
Go ahead. The eight qualities, the spontaneous, is that different from the spontaneous activities of a Buddha, and if so, how?
ti rumche yunden gegnangi yunden ni bachirwa
ori
kasuve lun lungidu lundu
ori hanjite ba
lungidu ba yende di lungidu ba yunden sia di ta sangi ge semchenge tenza wal lungidu ba shagores
ori ri da di hanjite ba se di ji sangi go semchen go rodon che ba kapso
The quality of us, in the second quality of being spontaneous, here refers to the quality of a Buddha being very spontaneous in his activities, benefiting sentient beings like. In the case of ordinary sentient beings, then you have to generate the motivation, be motivated towards it, and then plan and gradually engage in the activity. So, in the case of an enlightened being, then it is completely spontaneous. All the activities benefiting sentient beings are completely spontaneous, and how that has been attained is due to the power of so many lifetimes of having engaged in those activities of benefiting others without any hesitations or like that. Does that answer your question?
So it's the same.
Yeah.
The spontaneous here is the same as the spontaneous activity of the Buddha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The adventitious purity, which is supposed to be that point.
Lungi dub di lubur namda shatan de khande shigo.
Ori, ki lubur namda se jyadi jigar se go, ji rong ji rongja am thama meba ni ki tuk deva ji maayen ba lubur de ji pena namka la.
Rumshi says when we talk about adventitious, then we talk about like the clouds being adventitious in the space, because it's there at times and not there at other times. In the same way, with regards to the applying that adventitious purity to the to the second spontaneous quality, here refers to fact that in the activities benefiting sentient beings, that it is not like handicapped by having to generate a motivation, and kind of like that it is spontaneous. I don't know how. Rumchi says, Buddha's activities not being dependent upon a motivation is being spontaneous is what is adventitious. It's adventitious purity.
The meaning of Krishna
is it Krishna truth body?
Truth body,
The Dharma body or the Dharmakaya has many different presentations to it. For example, the Buddha's body of nature is also a Dharma body, you know. And the transcendental wisdom, you have the wisdom Dharma body is also a Dharma body, truth body. And then cessation, which is totally free of obscurations, is also a Dharma body, truth body.
You have to speak up, dear.
In the introduction, you spoke of reincarnation.
Reincarnation.
Can you explain, please, what is it that survives from one life to the next life?
That which survives from one lifetime to the other is your mind. Okay, go ahead.
In the phrase positive karma, I want to get this clear, excuse me for repeating, positive karma arises from the blessings of the Buddha. Is that in the sense of our being clear enough of obscurations that our Buddha nature can manifest, or is it in the sense of the Buddha's, by their benevolence, contributing the cooperative causes?
Both ways, a clarity of the obscurations and also the benevolence of the Buddhas.
Back to the true cessation. To the true cessation, if you just remove the obstacles of liberation, or unless it's a true cessation, when we remove the obstacles to omission.
Golden sia di nyomo be tiba tarpo thobya gi nyomo be tiba la tiba panya de la tiba dan chawa di golden sigre ya thamche khemba dubya gi che do di di tiba la panya de la golden khwa shaw
ori dan golden ru mro ma bu yu ar wa nyon du ge do pon golden chi chi du ge do pon golden
Rumichi says, cessation is at many different levels. For example, in the case of the Shravaka hearers and the solitary realizers, their cessation is a cessation of abandoning the obscuration of delusions. And so when in the case of those who are able to abandon the obscuration to omniscience or obscuration to knowing, then in the context of that is the greatest cessation, because within that is included having abandoned the obscuration of delusions as well.
Okay.
Rumichi says, even when we come to abandon, there are obscurations, that defilements that we can abandon on the path of seeing, and then things that we can only come to abandon on the path of meditation. And so, again, when generating the qualities on the path of meditation along the, you know, the 10 grounds and paths, then all of these, each one of those qualities are successively generated along those, 10 grounds and paths like that. Go ahead. Yes.
Is Jhana's view of empty nature me to follow Yogacara's philosophy? That's the first question.
The Jonambas?
Jonambe, the Tawa, the In the Chittamatrans school, you have Chittamatrans who follow scriptural authority and Lungi Jenta and those who follow logic and reasoning. Chittamatrans are categorized into these two groups. Those that accept the mind which is the basis of all kunshi, whether they accept this mind or not. For example, in the Jonambar tradition, then by taking into our consideration the basic constituent or the element of the propensity for to attain the essence of the Tathagarbha state, where on the basis of this, then Jonambas established that sentient beings, mental continuum, have in them the Buddhahood, and they accept this on the basis of this basic constituent. So there's no Yogacharya school in the Chittamatran. No. Okay. Rumchi said that you cannot say that the Jonambar tradition is completely a Yogacharya school, follower of the Yogacharya. It's not completely exactly like that also. Okay. Go ahead.
The fourth kind of reasoning that Rumchi mentioned, is it Tegrup? And could Rinpoche explain a little bit more what that's referring to? Does it just mean establishing things through logic?
Rupa yang chima to ti ji ji ge ru bi te ya ge te ya da te ya ge ju jap den ge pon no ge ru ba ru ba ma bo pon du ni ma na tong ja ba tin da la tan ti du ge ru ba si
the the logic based on application is it like for example you say for example vase is impermanent because it changes from moment to moment. So like, you know, what is being established is that it is impermanent, you know, how it is impermanent is that because it changes from, so anything which you can reinforce by more and more reasoning is there, you know, backed up by one reasoning, a second reason, third reason, like that. That kind of process is the, you know, the fourth reasoning, you know, on the basis of applications. But I'm not as...
Teva means correctness. Drup means establish.
Teva.
This means correct. Establishing.
Okay. Established by what? Correct applications. Correct establishment. Correct.
Teva drivers do not.
Basically, to establish a phenomenon that it is so, then the various layers of logic that you utilize for example, in the Buddhist debating system, that there is this logic known as the logic of the three modes. You know, for example, that kind of logic is you can ask George what those three modes are. they are in the category of, you know, correctly establishing reasoning. So we'll stop here for this evening. So she put the chushen with our tongue, the rolling shin, the gambati. Sangye shindo me te burwaji Choku namda shinla chubarayisho Idam guru ratna mandala kamiyataya Gyawadi tendan jowa kumla kambandan Kyabarji sendo santapayi Temin nimbo rindo sarjiyo Samcho rinpo chen Magye panam jiju chi Jiba nyamba mebayan Koni gondi berberjo Bama zemji damji dedan denju ching Sambo chujer abdum over you.